So we're doing something this morning that we haven't done yet here at Restoration. We are going to focus on a book of the Bible for the next 3 weeks. So we're going to focus on the book of Jonah. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't read that book or you haven't read it recently, it is a very quick read. Go home and read that book. If you need a Bible, come talk to me afterwards and we'll make sure we get you one. But read the story of Jonah. Because unfortunately, for many of us, Jonah is one of the more popular stories of the Bible. And we think we know it, right? We think we get it because it's that story of that guy who said no to God and then ended up in the belly of a whale, right? That's the story that our kids hear. And I'm hopeful that over the course of the next 3 weeks, we'll get a little deeper than that. A guy who said no to God and ended up in the belly of the whale. Now, today's sermon is on chapter 1, and it's not a very hopeful sermon, right? It's not a very hopeful time for Jonah as this story goes on. And I'm going to walk you through this morning. We're not going to look at the whole, every verse, but I'm going to try to fill in as we go so you don't miss parts of the story, because that's important this morning. So the book opens with these two verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he was son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So I want to ask you a question this morning. Would you agree that God is pretty clear about what God wants Jonah to do? Yes. Go to Nineveh, right? God says it. He names it for Jonah. There is no doubt to Jonah what God is saying according to the way that we read it here. Now, we may not always hear God in that same way, right? I have never had an experience where I'm sitting on my bed and God comes in and sits down beside me and goes, "Tim, I want you to go do X. Go now." But I get that sense from God in nudges and things like that, right? Like I'm walking down the street and I see somebody and God sort of nudges me to go do something about that. So that's the way that I hear God, and that might be the way that you hear it. Now, there are general things that we should all know that we are called to do by God. There are just general things that the Bible says this is who you're called to be. Things like forgive others, right? That's actually a calling from God on your life. Forgive people. Be generous with what you have, your time, your resources. That's a call by God. Show compassion, care for the vulnerable, do justice, share Christ with the world. There are other things out there. But these are things that are callings from God where God is saying, hey, this is just who you should be. This is what you should do. This is not because you're special, not because you're particularly important. This is what we should all do. So those are those callings. Why, if you feel like you're nudged on certain things, that's because that's what God wants us to do. Now, if this language around being called is strange to you, I'm okay with that, because it's pretty strange to me too. That God calls us to do things, that God asks us to do things. So God might be calling you, for example, in something in your vocation, right? God might say, leave this job and go do this job. Go be a teacher, go do this. That's a calling. So it might be something in your job. God might be saying something about your family, right? I want you, I'm nudging you to adopt this child, or I'm nudging you to bring this ailing parent into your home to take care of them. So that's a calling. That's not necessarily a go and go to Nineveh and save the world. That's a, hey, you need to take this person into your home. God might be calling you to forgive someone. God might be calling you to help the man who you see on the street every day on the way home, who's homeless. One day you might sense that God is saying, go and talk to them, right? So calling is not always this incredible thing that's go and change my life. It may be as small as go and have that conversation. So I want to share a little bit of my story with you this morning around this concept of calling. As we were singing that song, "I Will Go Where You Lead Me," right, as Amy was leading us in that song, I was thinking about my own story. In 2003, I was working for a software company, and I was doing some consulting and sales for them, and I was really enjoying my life. Everything was going really well, and I prayed a prayer that is very dangerous to pray, that I never encourage you to pray. And that prayer is, hey, God, my life is good, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Right, God, I'll go where you lead me. And I said, I really like the way things are, but God, if you want something to change in my life, I'm up for that. A lot changed in the next 3 months. I was single, and I was really enjoying being single. And I met my wife, who would then be my wife, about 2 weeks later. We got a call. I was living with these four other guys that I went to college with who were really good friends of mine. And we got a call from our landlord saying they were selling our house. And we needed to go and find something else. About 2 weeks later, I got a call from a church out in Potomac Falls. And they said, hey, we've heard what you're doing with students where you were volunteering. We'd love for you to consider coming on staff with us. And I said, no way. Right? I'm never going to work in a church. A week later, I got a call from a guy who had mentored me, who was at a church down in Atlanta, and he said, hey, I want you to consider coming and working for our church. And I said, no way. I'm never going to work for a church. A week later, I got a call from a church in McLean saying, hey, we hear what you're doing in the church. We'd love for you to come work for our church. And I said, no way. And a week later, I got a call from another church. 4 weeks in a row, and that church said, hey, you've been volunteering here, and we have a role. And finally, after four times of God saying to me, I want you to come and do this, I said yes. Now, it took God beating me over the head for me to answer the call. I didn't do like Jonah did. I didn't run in the other direction, but I sure tried. Over and over again, I tried to say no to God. Now, this isn't unusual in the Bible. Right? If you think that you're a person who may have felt a nudge from God or heard a calling from God to go do something, it's not unusual for you to want to turn from that and say, no, I'm not ready for that. Moses is the guy who leads the Hebrews out of Egypt, away from Pharaoh. And Moses gets to lead them through. I mean, I think one of the coolest things in the Bible, the Red Sea parting and opening up, and they get to walk through. And do you know what Moses said when God called him from a burning bush? No. Moses said, no, not me. I'm not articulate enough. I'm not smart enough, God. I can't lead those people. Or Isaiah and Amos, they were called to be prophets. And if you read the prophets of the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament, you see people who have to give really, really difficult words, really challenging words. And when God called them, they both said, no, not me. I can't do that. And they tried to run from God. You can follow the disciples, these people who Jesus plucks from what they're doing, who look at Jesus as if he has three heads when he calls them to go and do something. So it's not unusual for people to say, I'm not worthy to do, God, what you're calling me to do. That's not me. So if you felt God calling you to do something, whatever that might be, and you say, wow, I don't have those gifts, welcome to the club. Right? There are many people who have said that over and over again throughout Scripture. But Jonah is a little bit different. Jonah doesn't say, no, God, I don't have the gift to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm simply not going. Now, I do not encourage that with God either, friends. Jonah says, God, I will not go because I don't think that those people who live in Nineveh are worth it. I don't think that they deserve your grace. I don't think they deserve a warning. I don't think they deserve a second chance. Jonah rejects God's call because he knows that if he goes, God might do something. So he says no. And let's look at how he responds specifically. Let's look at verse 3. Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Friends, Jonah paid money to get away from God. That is dangerous, okay? Let me warn you, if you have God calling you to do something, you pay money to go in the other direction, it's a dangerous thing that happens. I find that there are many times in my life where I am running from what God might be calling me to do in a different situation. There are times when I'm saying, nope, I'm going to go in this direction. And it's those times when I feel incredibly unsettled. It's those times when I realize in my life, I don't know how many of you were here last week, but I talked about that concept of being godless, those periods where we're not focused on God, right? It's those times when I am godless, when I am the least centered and the least focused on what God is calling me to do, that I don't feel right in myself. I don't feel settled. And I have to ask myself questions when I'm not listening to the call of God, like to be kind or generous. Is it really that hard for me to be kind? is it really that hard for me to be generous to this person? Is it really that hard for me to love? Because that's really the thing I'm saying. It's just too hard. Right? I don't want to do it. So I'm going to run in the other direction. Now, Jonah seems to have a problem. We sang the song this morning, How Great is Our God, where we're reminded when we sing that song, right, that God is here, right? God is powerful and almighty, and we are simply humans. But Jonah seems to have forgotten that he and God aren't equal, right? He has what we call a lordship issue, where Jonah has forgotten that God is the God of the universe, that God is the God who created all things, and Jonah simply says, well, I'm not doing what you say. Jonah seems to think that he is Lord, right? Many people have hardship issues, and I think that's what I've read the story of Jonah to be before. Oh, poor Jonah, right? It's so hard for him. He'd have to go to Nineveh and to do this, and then he ends up in the belly of this big fish. That's tough. As I read it this week, I felt God saying, this is not a hardship issue for Jonah. You want to know hardship issues? Hardship issues is the woman in the Bible who has been bleeding for years and years and years and goes to grab Jesus' cloak just to have some sort of reprieve. She's got a hardship issue. Hardship issues is the woman who goes to Elijah to ask for help because her son has died. That's a hardship issue. Friends, Jonah does not have a hardship issue. He pays money to get away from God, to run from God, because he wants to be in charge. Jonah is very unhappy with God for one reason, I believe. Jonah's unhappy because he doesn't want God to save the people of Nineveh. I mean, they're awful people. Why should God save them? God was interested in warning the Ninevites before destroying them, and Jonah thinks that's unfair. Let me give you some history why. Why would Jonah be so bothered that the Ninevites get a pass, that they get grace, that they get a reprieve? So they were part of the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh was. And the Assyrian Empire were people who were known of going in and being very forceful and being very hurting people to get what they want. People who study this stuff talk about how they moved into the northern kingdom and they took all that they wanted and didn't care who they hurt along the way. And that's what happens in 722 BC, sorry. They go in and they take all of the northern kingdom people, these people who would have been Israelites, the chosen people of God, and they put them into captivity. So it makes sense, right, that Jonah says they don't deserve anything. They don't deserve grace, and Jonah is angry. Now, here's the amazing thing about me. I sat down this week and I said, I kind of get Jonah a little bit, right? I get that Jonah says, well, if people were once good and they've made bad decisions, then it's okay for God to give them grace. But what's so amazing to me about God over and over again is when God comes after those of us who were completely lost, who were never good, right? Which I put most of us in that category. So God wants to go and to save the Ninevites, but Jonah's got a problem with that. How does God get to do that? That doesn't seem fair. I think it's more than just a grudge that Jonah has against them. I think he actually hates them. I think he detests the concept of these people who are doing these terrible things and hurting people. But here's what we need to know, friends. No matter how we feel about what God's calling us to do, we can only run so far before God's going to get our attention. And that's what happens in this story. We can run and we can try to hide. I remember as a kid, I used to have this image of going, someone said, you can't go anywhere to hide from God. And I had this image of going back behind our church and sitting behind a tree and saying, of course God can't see me here. God can find you anywhere. And that's what God does with Jonah. This is what happens. Jonah gets on a boat. He pays money to get on the boat, and all of a sudden a huge storm comes up. And this is what the scripture says. Then the mariners, who were the sailors, they were afraid. Each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. They were terrified for their lives. So they start throwing things overboard. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will save us. But what are they doing in this moment? They're crying out to their God, right? They have all different gods at this point, and they're crying out to God. Well, what do you think Jonah, this follower of God, is doing at this point? Let's look at the next verse. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship, and he had lain down. He was fast asleep. Right, so the storms are coming, the ship is moving, the sailors are freaking out, and Jonah's sleeping. Jonah has fallen asleep on God. Jonah has said, I'm not listening to you. Is it possible that we too fall asleep on God? That we say, we're not listening to you, God, for this season about what you're saying. We're not only not listening to you, we're going to sleep through your message. We're not going to hear what you have to say to us today. See, we often talk, friends, about how our world needs transformation. Right? We say that here a lot of Sundays. We want to transform the world. Yet many of us know people that have other gods in their lives and we're asleep. We're not doing anything about that. We're not going to share with them this good news of who Jesus is because we're asleep. And what does God do? God talks through these sailors as they come to Jonah and they grab him and they say, get up. Wake up. We need you. They tell him to get up. Now Jonah says, I think I'm the problem. They say, really? Why are you the problem? And Jonah says, well, I'm a follower of God, of the Hebrew God, and I may have made some mistakes. God might be kind of mad at me, so throw me overboard. Well, the men, they don't want to do that. They don't want to hurt him. See, they've got care for him as a man who's even causing them problems, and they don't want to throw him overboard. But Jonah would rather die. He would rather die than do what God has called him to do. I believe that when I'm in a zone, when we're in a zone, where we're not listening for the call of God, or even greater, we're saying no to it, they will be the moments in our lives when pieces of us are dying. When pieces of us are not alive. See, the danger in not doing what God asks us to do or to be the person that we become is that a piece of us dies. If we won't forgive, we become people who are unforgiving. Right? If we lack humility, we become prideful. If we won't be kind, we lack compassion. I think the greatest message I got out of this week is that the life I live without God will be the most broken, joyless, hopeless aspect of who I am. When I am not sensing the call of God, when I am not listening and responding to whatever that is in an instance, it is going to be the most joyless, hopeless sense of who I am. I use the scripture a lot. It's one that I love from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and life that is abundant. I believe that I think about Finding Nemo, and in Finding Nemo, there's this scene where the turtles are just riding, right, on the wave. I think when we are in the call that God has on our lives, it's like that. You just get on and you get to hang out for the ride, right? Sometimes it's bumpy, sometimes stinky fish get into it, but you ride because that's when we're in the moment where we're really living. When we're in that moment that Christ has called us to. Now, the sailors initially won't throw him over. They hold on to him for a while, but then this happens right here. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, O Lord. Do you hear who they're crying out to now? Right? They're crying out to God. They're not crying out to their own gods. Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Don't make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked Jonah up, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Now, do you see what happened here? Remember, these men were worshiping all their own other gods. Jonah had an opportunity to share with them the good news about who God is. Jonah doesn't. Jonah gets thrown overboard, and all of a sudden the sea stops. And God speaks to them. See, that's the beauty of God. God can speak even without us. God doesn't need us. God just allows us to be used. When I've read this story in the past, I've looked at this whole situation with Jonah and I've said, he's being punished. Right? It's all a punishment for how bad he is and how he turns from God. But as I read it this week, I heard a completely different message from God. I heard God saying, I just wanted some time with him. I did everything I could to just get some time alone with him. I just wanted to share with him the good news that he was going to get to deliver to the Ninevites, but he wouldn't listen to me. And Jonah is in the sea. It's dangerous. The sea is not safe for him to be in, but then something happens. Let's look at verse 17. The Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. See, that's the part of the story that I really thought was God's punishment for Jonah. And then I read those first three words again, four words, but the Lord provided. God simply wanted some time alone with Jonah. That's what we're going to see next week. We're going to see next week that God gets that time alone with Jonah, and it's really rich and good time. So I ask you today, what's your big fish? Is God trying to get you alone to speak to you for just a moment to say, I just want you to do this? Not because it'll be some great thing that you do, but because it will transform you. Because it will change you. Perhaps you've had your big fish moment recently and you're going, I don't even know where to start. God said this and I've heard it and I've got to go do it. And I think the way you start is simply to put one foot in front of the other and start going in the direction of what God has called you to do. I want to encourage us this morning as we receive communion to pause, maybe for a moment, and be still, to try to listen for the voice of God. Is God trying to nudge you this morning to do something? Is God trying to get, is this the fish this morning? The moment where God says, for just a moment, I have you alone. For just a moment, I want to say this to you because I love you and because I believe that you can have life abundantly if you'll just do this little thing. Again, I don't know what that is for you this morning. I don't know what that moment is, but I promise you, when I finally said yes to what God was calling me to do, my life was absolutely changed. When I finally said yes, there was a part of me that was seemingly missing that when it all came together, I said, oh yes, this is right. Now I fought it and I fought it and I fought it, and maybe you're fighting something that God is calling you to do this morning, but whatever it is, I pray that you sense that you are able to jump into that wave like the turtles are on in the movie, and you're able to ride it and realize that God has something incredible in store for each of you. Amen.